So we're workers together to make this all happen. 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about that, how we have to work together for this, for the good of all, to bring people into the fold. We don't think the Great Commission is just a good idea or a good suggestion. We believe it's a command. We believe we, as believers, we have a responsibility to take God's word out and make disciples all over the world. A few years ago, I was blessed to go to Ghana, Africa, to hand out Bibles. I thought I was going to bless them, but I'm the one that came back blessed. It was a wonderful experience. These head teachers, they're tough people, but they love their children. And you ask them what their goal is for the children. Number one goal is to get them ready for heaven. Make sure they're ready for heaven. No question about it. That's our number one goal. When we get to these head teachers, their pace is a whole lot different than ours. We're us Americans, and there was a lot of us. There was 23 of us from 9 different countries. But here in America, we're, okay, we got a job to do. Let's get it done. When you get to these head teachers, when you had all these schools to go to, they would say, get them a chair. Get them a bottle of water. Sit down. Where are you from? Who sent you here? What are you handing out? Who paid for those? They want to make sure that what we're doing is on the right level. It's right. So you're volunteers. Yes, we paid our own way. Who bought these Bibles? The churches and helped us back in America and all over the world. Churches are helping us purchase these scriptures to hand out. And then they take you to the classroom and introduce you. What a wonderful experience to be able to hand these little Bibles out in Ghana, Africa, in English. In English. That's what they wanted. And what was amazing to me was these were going to be textbooks. They had no textbooks. These children are healthy and happy. They're getting enough to eat and enough of the right thing. They're healthy, but they have no clue how poor they are. But they were going to take these little books and read these, learn to read English out of the Bible. Now, I think that's just good stuff. What a wonderful experience to see this. Fred showed me his little testament, so much like it is today. It has the plan of salvation in the back. Fred has on there, there's a place to sign when you accept Christ. He put it on, he said, when he was baptized. The first thing it says here, God loves you, John 3:16. And we could go over the children in school with this. You couldn't think of doing that in our public schools today. But then it says, we all mess up. I said, I could tell them, maybe you cheated on a test, or maybe you got in a fight, or maybe you have bad thoughts in your mind. Whatever it is, we mess up. Those are sins. But God has a remedy for sin, it says here. We can ask forgiveness. And then the plan of salvation, my decision to accept Christ, and they can sign it. We could go through that. Can you imagine that? Go through the whole plan of salvation in a classroom. Goodness, how wonderful. So as we spread these Bibles all over the world, there's so many testimonies come back. Bill Bloom says this, I wasn't arrested, I was rescued. That's what he says today. Bill Bloom had a tough job, he was a tough guy. He's a big burly fella, I met him. And he says he was a debt collector for bad drug deals, can you imagine? And by his own admission, he said, I hurt a lot of people. He finally was taken into jail. He said, if I had not been, I'd have been knocked off. And that's what he meant by saying I got rescued. So as he was taken, put in jail, he was put in solitary confinement for 30 days. And finally, he was allowed to come out one Sunday evening to a chapel service. Now, he had never been in a church service in his life, he said. And he said, I didn't understand what they were saying. But he said, finally at the end, one man stood up and he kind of shook his finger at us. And he said this, no matter how bad you've been or how bad you think you've been, God still loves you. And he repeated it. He said, God still loves you. God still loves me. Right. After all the bad things I've done, no one could ever love me. But Bill Bloom was given a little Bible, and he took it back, and he started reading, and he didn't understand it real well, but he wrote some questions down for the next Sunday night. They were very patient with him, he said. And he said, they showed love to me that I just didn't understand. Long story here, long story shorter, Bill Bloom accepted Christ there in prison. He led a Bible study eventually. Today, Bill Bloom is a pastor out in western Pennsylvania. He makes a joke about it. He said, most of my friends went to Penn State for 4 years, but I went to the state pen for 5.5. Isn't it wonderful he can joke about it today? And it's just good news. He speaks well of the Gideons. He said, I'll go wherever I can go to explain to him how good the Gideons are and how they helped me and how they helped a lot of other people there in prison because of his Bible study. He said, that's the problem in prisons, is that so many of them are so low, they feel there's no way they could ever be forgiven for what they've done. But they never knew of the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They've never learned that. We can't explain it. The people of Jesus' time couldn't explain it. They came up with a new term, agape love. Never heard of that kind of love. Love your enemies. So different. Some of the other testimonies that come in is a trickle-down effect of back in 1983, there was a man from Kentucky went to Zimbabwe to give out Bibles. He said at the end of their time, they were running out of Bibles, so they got to a school one day, and they usually give to the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, but they knew they didn't have enough, so they thought they would just give to the 7th and 8th. But the head teacher had other ideas. She said, no, we're going to give it to the children that are excelling, the ones that are doing well. And they put them in groups over left and right here, and up front here they had a table. And they said the ones that were doing well could follow through and get a Bible. Doreen was a girl who was not excelling well, and she was put in the bad group, in the group that was not. So, but she wanted a Bible, and she wanted one really bad. She wasn't excelling because her mother was really sick when the last baby was born, and Doreen became the little mother, if you will, and she was missing 2 and 3 days a week in school. So she did fall behind, but she still wanted a Bible. She decided she'd make a run for it and just grab one and go. But they knocked her down. She tried it again, and they knocked her down again. Doreen didn't quit. Doreen came in from a different angle, and she got one, and she said, right as I grabbed that Bible, somebody hit me in the head again, but I didn't lose the Bible. I got up and ran. Doreen tells this story today. Doreen is living in Canada now, but she tells this story about it and what happened, how Doreen got to be known. 20 years later, it was 1983 and 2003, this same man from Kentucky was back in Zimbabwe, and he told this story. He learned her name, who she was. He said, she has a determination. She really wanted a Bible, and he said, I'm going to pray for that girl. And they told her the situation, why she was falling behind and all. But he was telling this story. When we go to these foreign countries, we go out like this and talk in churches many times through an interpreter. And he was telling this story about this girl named Doreen, how she really wanted a Bible. How badly she wanted it. And with that, a young lady stood up in the back and started walking up through and apologized for interrupting. And she said, I'm that Doreen. And she said, I want to tell you about that Bible. That Bible changed our whole family's life. She said, because of that Bible, two of my brothers are pastors. Another one's a youth leader in his church, and I'm a youth leader here. Can you imagine the difference that Bible made with so many lives? That's a trickle-down effect of the Gideon's work. It's a really good work. It's a good mission. You folks have the Gideons here quite often, so you know what it's all about, how it got started and all that. It's just a wonderful story. It's been around over 100 years now, about 120 actually, from when they handed out the first Bibles. And this going into churches all started by the churches wanting them to come in. The churches heard we were going to put Bible, the Gideons were going to put one Bible in a hotel. They said, no, no. We want you to put Bible in every room and we'll underwrite it. They gave the money to do it. And that's how it got started, to get the churches involved. And without the churches, we couldn't do this. We couldn't do this work. So we thank you for all your participation. In Morgantown, West Virginia, at West Virginia University, one Monday morning, the men were handing out Bibles. And a well-dressed lady came up and wanted to know who was in charge. And on a college campus, that throws up a flag. You just don't know. But this was different. And she wanted to know who was in charge, so they pointed out to a man. He was the president of the Gideons in West Virginia. It's not a paid job. He was a contractor just giving his morning. And they pointed him out to him. And she said, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. And she got very emotional. And then she shared. They stepped aside a little there, and she shared it. She's a professor there, and her husband's a doctor, and they live out in the country. And she said, sometimes our 12-year-old daughter would come home from school, and we weren't there. She'd hop on her bike and go down the road to her friend's house to spend time and study together. But something went terribly wrong one day, and the bike upset out in the road, and she got hit by a car and was killed. Well, the mother was devastated, as any mother would be. But after some time, she started cleaning out the nightstand and cleaning out a room there, and she found a little Bible like this. And she opened it, and there was portions highlighted, and in the back it was signed that she accepted Christ, when had to date it and signed her name. The mother had no idea, no idea that was there. But she said to this guy, she said, just keep doing what you're doing, and here's why. She said, I have hope of seeing my little girl again. She said, I didn't pray with her like my mother did with me. I didn't take her to church and Sunday school. I didn't read the Bible to her. But she said, now I have hope because you guys handed these out somewhere along the way. She got one. And that can happen too. Many stories of people, kind of an interesting one was a homeless guy came into the back of the church one Sunday morning and he went to talk to the pastor. And they said, well, what do you want to talk to him about or something, you know? And they said, well, he didn't want to tell him, but finally they pressed him a little more, and he said, well, I found this little book. He said, I was sleeping in a dumpster, and somebody lifted the lid and threw this in. It hit me on the head. I took that as a sign I better read it. I guess you would. So he wanted to talk to the pastor about this. Probably a person who never was in church in his life. But we don't know where these testaments always show up. But we really appreciate the opportunity to come in and share with you about this ministry and what all is happening around the world, how lives are being changed because of folks just like you. Little congregations sometime. I was just in a church last week, and the folks there was only 8 people there with me. But they gave $200 to further this kingdom. And the good news is this, 100% of anything that's given in a church setting like this, 100% goes for the cause. And you could say, hi, how can you do that? Surely you have an overhead. We do. We have about 150 people working in an office in Nashville and some of them around the world. All their wages and benefits are paid for by the dues that we pay to be part of this. Sometimes it doesn't quite reach, and then they reach into the funds that come in under estates, settlements of their estates. Many people leave money to the Gideons, big amounts sometimes, and they reach into that. But they never take out of money that's given at a church setting or the other way is through this Bible program that we have, the card, Bible cards. I think in your foyer you have cards in memory, thinking of you and in recognition There's some in the foyer, I'm pretty sure. I put the wrong address in to get here, and I got here right, like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, so I didn't have a chance to look at this. But I'm sure there's a card display out there. And you can support the Gideons through that. 100% goes there, too. 100%. So when somebody passes, what a wonderful way to memorialize somebody. It's a gift that just keeps on giving. When my wife and I were married 50 years, we didn't want anybody to do anything. Our kids, we said, no party, but they don't listen. So they had a party, but we did get to say this. Any money that's given through gift cards or whatever, we're going to turn into Bibles. And that's what we did. Money came in for over 100 Bibles. Bibles like this are $5 a piece. That's how we became known in motels and hotels. He was mentioning that sometimes you don't know in this crazy world what if there are Bibles still in hotels. And in most hotels still have the Bibles in. We're able to put them in there. It's really difficult to do anything in schools anymore. College campuses, if some organization inside asked us to come and they get permission, get signatures on the paper, they can do that. We can go into college campuses. Each year we go into Penn State and usually give out 3,000 to 5,000, but sometimes more than that. They tell us where we can and cannot stand. So we give out a lot of Bibles there, for sure. And there's good stories, testimonies that come out of that. Lives that are changed, sometimes not right away. They throw them in a drawer, carry them with them in their backpack, but when they get low enough, it happens. So the way this works here is in these cards, there's a card here to send. You put it on how many Bibles you want to give and put on a place for a note. There's an envelope. There's a second envelope addressed to the Gideons here in your local Harrisburg area. You can use a credit card or a check. Do not send cash, never a good idea. But you put in here how many Bibles you want to leave. $25 buys 5 Bibles. Now what happens? You don't get the Bibles, and the next of kin doesn't get the Bibles either. But the money goes to the Gideons, and they will use that money to send Bibles wherever they think it's needed, anywhere in the world. Maybe in the Philippines. We gave out 430,000 Bibles in Ghana when we were there in 2 weeks' time. In the Philippines, I don't know how they did this. They gave 970,000. Don't know how they did it. We were busy as bees. We thought we worked hard. I don't know how they did that. But it was like a revival in the country, they said. People were bringing these testaments into churches, and the churches were crowded and full. It was like a revival countrywide. So we thank you for the opportunity, and just keep doing what you're doing. I'll give one more testimony about how lives were changed. Well, let me give you two. In Albania, a seventh grade girl was visiting her cousin with her cousins at a school one day. And the Gideons came and they gave out Bibles. And she said, well, I'm not from this school. Maybe I shouldn't take one. No, you take one. We have them. So she took it, and when she got back to her own school, some of her friends wanted one. Hard as they tried, they couldn't find any. They just couldn't find any Bibles there. So this little girl decided, and I didn't know you could do this, she dissected it, if you will. She took Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, separated it. And you look in the back, you can see where they're glued together there. It's each one by a book by itself. She took it apart and handed it around, and then they switched it around. Goodness. Don't expect an answer, but think about this. How many Bibles do you have in your home? How many Bibles? Many different translations, large print, small print, all kinds of stuff, testaments. I know I do. I have quite a few. I used to teach a Sunday school class for a long time, and I wanted different versions. I wanted different, see how it was printed, how it was mentioned in different versions and things. So we take it for granted. Don't do that. Don't take the Bible for granted at all. When the Gideons were in Mexico City, There was a man handing out Bibles, and a young man came up to him, and he said, "A free gift for you, son." And he just went like that, and the guy took it. And he said, "What is it?" He said, "It's a little Bible." He got very angry, and he took his lighter out, and he tried to ignite it. And it wouldn't burn. It just melted together and made a mess. And he finally walked away, and he stood up in the corner, and he was peeling this apart or doing whatever. And finally he came back and wanted another, and was apologizing. He was kind of scared at this point. He said, "I don't know what's in this book. I don't know what's in this holy book," but he said, "It won't even burn." And he said, I want another one. He was serious. He said, "I heard the guy that did this, the guy that gave it out," he said, "the guy was serious." And he said, he was scared. And he said, "All right, but I'm going to go through the back of the book with you." So he went back through the plan of salvation with him, and he prayed the sinner's prayer right there. When he walked away, three other young guys came up, and they saw what was going on, but they didn't understand it, and they wanted to know what happened here. He said, "Well, he just accepted Christ." And they said, "What?" And then they said it again and explained it to him. He said, "Never would that happen with him." He said, "He's a devil worshiper." Those are words we don't hear much around here. Devil worshiper. But he said, "Listen, you need to go to Hebrews 4:12. And he did, and he read about it. You know what Hebrews 4:12 said? God's word is sharp and quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. And he said, today God's word was quick and sharp. And he gave them a testament, and they all walked away. We don't know what happens. It's like planting the seeds. Some fall in good soil, and some don't. But we know many lives are being changed because of folks just like you. So I'd say, let's keep doing what you're doing. Let's have a prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this congregation here in Harrisburg area. We just thank you for Pastor Chad and what's going on here. We pray for him as he's traveling. We pray for the ones that were hurt here this week, hurt the shoulder, and we know about that a little bit. Father, we just pray for the ones that are hurting, the sick people. And we pray that this congregation be a light, and Pastor Chad can be a shepherd over this group, this congregation, and you can be a light in the neighborhood and in the community. And this church can grow. What a beautiful setting and situation you have here. Father, we just pray your blessing on them strongly. In your son's name we pray. Amen.